I would just commend this time to the Lord in prayer, and we'll hear the word together. Let's pray. Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again today. We can come to Thy word and seek to be fed by it. We pray that we might hear Thy voice, O Lord, speaking through the scriptures tonight to our hearts. We would remember, Lord, the words of that hymn, "Speak, I pray Thee, gentle Jesus. Oh, how passing sweet Thy words." Lord, we pray that our Saviour might speak to our hearts and to our souls tonight, both to those who are older and also to those who are younger, that, Father, we might be spoken to through the scriptures. We might remember these things and apply them to our day-to-day lives. So hear us, our Father, and help us now to attend to these things. For we ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text tonight for tonight's message is Colossians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. As you may have guessed already, there's some similar verses back in Ephesians chapter 6 in the first four verses, and I just wend those words and those verses into these ones here in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So children here, so God here and God the Holy Spirit, Apostle Paul, speaking to you, as you're speaking to the children in the church at Colossae. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Well, last time on a Sunday night, we were looking at that great gospel text, John chapter 3 and verse 16. Particularly, we were considering the love of God the Father, the first person of the Godhead, the first person of the Holy Trinity. And we saw three things about the love of the Father, the love of God the Father. First of all, we considered its character or nature, particularly in the first words of that verse, very well known to us. You should know these words off by heart if any of Scripture and understand them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We looked at those words and considered together the character or nature of the love of God the Father. Secondly, we saw also its objective or purpose, that the world should not perish, but have everlasting life. The people in the world might not go to hell, but they might go to heaven, having come to faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we saw the result of God the Father's love, or the consequence of it, that whoever believes in Him, whoever believes on the Son, on the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon what He's done for them upon the cross in taking their sin and being punished in their place, whoever believes in Him should not perish, not go out of existence, but be eternally lost, destroyed, destruction, in hell forever. They should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're looking at that verse last time, the very nub, if you like, the very heart of the gospel, John chapter 3 and verse 16, about God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. Well, more about fathers tonight, but not our loving heavenly Father, but about earthly fathers. Because tonight, because it is Father's Day today, and many people will be thinking about fathers and parents in general and children, I want us to look at Paul's teaching here in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 20 and 21. As I say, you also find similar but not the same words in Ephesians chapter 6 and the first four verses of that chapter. Now, Colossians here, and in those verses in Ephesians, who was it that Paul was writing about? Well, there are two main headings here, aren't there, in Colossians. He's not only writing to the Colossians about these people, he's writing directly to them. So you can imagine that as this epistle was received, as this letter was received by the Colossians, and it was read out to them and also to the church at Laodicea, it's not only that Paul was writing about these people, but he was speaking directly to them. God was addressing them directly. So he's already written about wives in verse 18, husbands in verse 19, and in verses 22 to 25, he's going to go on to write to servants and then to masters at the beginning of the next chapter. But in these verses here, in verses 20 and 21, first of all, he's writing to children. Paul recognizing there were children in the congregation of this church, and there were certain things he wanted to say to them. So he addresses them, children, you children that are there, there are certain things I have to say to you and to write to you. And children are, the word children is used in many ways, in the scriptures, in the New Testament, but here Paul is referring to children in the natural sense of the word. It's not being used in a metaphorical sense. It's in the natural sense, children, as we have children here amongst us this evening. So are you a child here tonight? Are you a child or a young person? Young boy, a young girl? I don't know what you're doing. Perhaps you're doing your exercises and things like that, but it might be that you may want to look up and you might want to pin back your ears tonight and hear what God has to say to you from this passage here and from other passages like it. And I think that the Apostle Paul is particularly writing to Christian children, isn't he? The sense in which all children are to obey their parents. I think the Apostle Paul is especially here thinking of Christian children and the fruit or the result of the gospel, and their belief in the gospel in their lives. Their being obedient to the gospel meant that they had become obedient to their parents. So if you're a child tonight, you may want to hear what God has to say to you, what the Holy Spirit has to say to you, what the Apostle Paul, again, has to say not only to the children of the church in Colossae, Laodicea and so on, but to our church here tonight. But he's not only writing to children or about children, he's also writing about fathers. Scriptures are always very balanced, aren't they? He not only writes to wives, he also writes to husbands, and just the right things, so there might be peace and harmony between them in the home and in their relationships. He not only writes about to servants, but also to masters, and there might be peace and harmony in the workplace, or again, in the home, where there are servants and masters. But here Paul balances this up. He doesn't only address and exhort the children, does that first of all, but then also he speaks here to fathers. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, he puts it like this, you fathers, first of all, you children, I've got something to say to you, but then you fathers as well, I've got something to say to you also. And he means here either fathers as the heads of families, or this could be a reference to parents in general, fathers and mothers. As in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23, the same word is used here, and yet it is translated as parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, Amram and Jochebed, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Notice there, the word that is used is parents. That's the same word that's used here in this passage, and I think also in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. So it could be fathers, it could be fathers and mothers. So are you a father, you a mother tonight here? Perhaps you're not yet, perhaps you will be in the future. Who knows? Perhaps you'll be a father in the future, a mother in the future. Again, God has something to say to you. Paul wants to address you as well as the people all those years ago. You see, the scripture is so relevant, isn't it? It's so up to date. The things that Christian children needed to hear in those days, they need to hear today. The things that Christian parents needed to hear in those days, it's exactly the same. They need to hear it to today. So let's look at these two here. First of all, children, and then fathers, or fathers and mothers, parents. verse 20, children. Paul here uses an admonition, doesn't he? Or a directive or an exhortation to children. And he tells them what they were to do as Christians. As I say, this can be taken generally. Just because a child is not a Christian doesn't mean to say they can be disobedient to their parents. They must not. They must obey their parents. But Christian children, if they are truly Christians, now that they've become obedient to God and obedient to his gospel, they repented and believed the gospel and they love God and they want to please God, are also going to be obedient to their parents. And this is what Paul exhorts them to. It's an admonition, it's a directive, it's an exhortation to them to obey. Just like the hymnist wrote, Christian children, all must be mild, obedient, good as he, good as the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians, the apostle there adds, honour thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's not the first commandment, but it is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And if they did obey their parents, they would be honouring them. And if they wanted to know how to honour them, they needed to do this by obeying their parents. Now, obedience here means this. It means attending, hearkening, listening. It means obeying in general, but particularly paying attention to in an obedient and in a submissive way. It's the same word that the apostle uses in verse 22 to servants. Servants are to obey in all things their masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So as servants are to obey their masters, Christian servants were to obey their masters, how much more then were Christian children to obey their parents? Well, children are here tonight, you boys and your girls, are you an obedient child? Are you an obedient boy? Are you an obedient girl? If you're not a Christian, you're probably not going to be. But if you are a Christian, well, then that is going to be an evidence, a grace in your heart and grace in your life that you're now seeking to obey God by keeping his commandments, not for your salvation, but because you're saved, and seeking to obey your parents in everything. Well, what does Paul tell them about this obedience? Well, first of all, then, who they are particularly to obey. Yes, they're to obey God. Yes, they're to obey other parents when that is right. And other people, the pastor and the officers of the church and other people in the church, again, where it's right. And perhaps even their peers. If their peers want them to do something, they're to seek to be submissive to them. But especially children are to be obedient to their parents, to their begetters, to those who brought them into the world, to their fathers and to their mothers. And this is something that we not only have here in Colossians and also in Ephesians, but this is the general teaching of the Holy Scriptures, as I want to show you now. We have this in the Old Testament Scriptures, don't we? Right back there, it's one of the commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, where God said through Moses to his people, and especially to the children of Israel, what were they to do? They were to honour their father and their mother. And there's this promise that thy days may be long or prolonged, as it's in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You do this, there's a promise appended or attached to it. And also when you come into the book of Proverbs, you come to the teaching of King Solomon. It was his teaching not only to his own son, to Rehoboam and to his other children, but also to the children of his people. My son, my daughter, hear the instruction of thy father. It's the same thing, isn't it? Obey your father, listen to their teaching, listen to their instruction, and forsake not the law of thy mother. My son Rehoboam, listen to me. Listen to your mother. And all my children out there, all children in my kingdom, they are to do this. And all children at all times. And then he says in chapter 6 and verse 20, the book of Proverbs, my son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law of thy mother. It's very similar. And then you come into the New Testament scriptures. It's amazing, isn't it? When you go through the whole of the scriptures, both Old Testament and New, just how many times this comes up, particularly in the words of that commandment in Exodus 20 verse 12, honour thy father and thy mother. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Pharisees and to the scribes. He says, for God commanded, saying, honour thy father and thy mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father and mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honour not his father and mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. He quoted and cited the same commandment, you remember, to one of the lawyers who asked him a question at one time, which was the greatest of all the commandments. You remember our Lord Jesus Christ also quoted these things to the rich young ruler who came to him wanting to know how he could basically be saved and have eternal life. Jesus said, you know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness. Defraud not and honour thy father and thy mother. This wasn't so that he could be saved by works, that he might realise his shortcomings, so he might come to Christ and be saved by faith, and then do these things to please God. And then finally, we have it in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children are to obey their parents. It is the teaching, not only of Paul in his epistle to the Colossians, in his epistle to the Ephesians, but it's throughout the whole of the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. You're exhorted in the whole of Scripture by God to do this. Is it something that you do do? Do you obey your father and do you obey your mother as a Christian? Something that you will do through the grace of God and the glory of God. God having delivered you from a disobedient disposition, a disobedient heart, and given you one which is obedient to him and to them. Well, how far does this go? How far does this obedience go? Well, Paul says in Colossians, in Ephesians he says that they are to obey their parents in the Lord. That is because they not only love their parents, but they love and reverence the Lord Jesus Christ. They do to do it as unto him because they love him and they love their parents. That's why they're to do it. But in Colossians here, he says they're to obey them in all things, in everything. Well, you say here, young person, you say, well, in everything? Can my father, can my mother ask me to do anything and I must do it? Well, God willing, your parents aren't going to ask you to do anything which is wrong. But certainly if they ever do that, if they want you to do something which is sinful, which is contrary to God and to his word and to his law, that's where you draw the line. You're to obey your parents in everything. But the proviso is, it's that of Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You children must obey your parents as far as possible, but not when it comes to contradict God's law or to break God's law and his commandments in your life. So do you do that, young people? Do you obey your parents in all things, in everything? God has given you a humble heart, a submissive heart, and not a rebellious heart anymore, but an obedient one. And you want to stretch this as far as possible. You want to obey God in as much as possible in your life. You want to obey your parents as far as possible. But if even they cross that line between what's right and wrong, what is holy and just and what is sinful, that is where the line is drawn. And that is where you must go. You must rather obey God than them. And the reason why the Colossian children were to do this and you're to do this, Paul says in Ephesians, it's because this is right. It's a good thing. It's right in the sight of God. But Ephesians, he says, because this is something that is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's acceptable to him. Pleases him. It's as though, like Paul says in one of his epistles, it's like a sweet-smelling sacrifice to him when you are obedient to him. Disobedience is something repugnant to God. But obedience through grace is something which is well-pleasing. It's a word which is used a number of times in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. The Philippians sacrifice there was acceptable, well-pleasing to God. In Hebrews chapter 13 verse 21. God working in those Hebrew believers things which are well-pleasing in his sight. When children obey their parents, it is something that's right with God and it pleases him. It glorifies him. It's something he loves. Well, children, before I pass on to fathers, again, let me finally ask you, do you do this? Do you please God? Somebody that displeases him by disobedience because you're not a believer? Because now you are a believer, seeking to be conformed to him and to his will and word. You want to please him in everything. And you want to do this by obeying your parents in all things, except when it brings you into a sinful situation before him. Or do it going against conscience is another thing. So Paul exhorts children, first of all, in Colossians. But he doesn't leave it there, does he? He also exhorts fathers. Just in case kind of the fathers were sitting there and thinking perhaps they were going to get off the hook in a sense. Children, they've been stirred, they've been awakened. Perhaps they were surprised as this letter was being written that Paul, that God should ever think about them. And God does. The apostle did. He included children as they suddenly sat up. God has something to say to me. I'm not being ignored. I'm not being overlooked. I'm being included in this. God has something to say to me, especially and particularly, specifically. But our fathers, God has something to say to them. Well, something which is in all children by nature is disobedience. And that's what Paul had to deal with there with them. Something fathers have got to be careful with is this. Not to be too hard on their children. Not too stern. Not too severe. To be kind and loving. This is the atmosphere, isn't it? It is that of love. Wives and husbands loving one another. Servants and masters loving one another. Children and parents loving one another. God has loved them. They're Christian fathers and Christian children. And so therefore they are to love God and they are to love one another. Oh, a family that's in Christ is a wonderful thing. Where a family's outside of Christ, there's so much strife and bitterness and envy and provocation and so on. But where God is, where God dwells by his Spirit, it's harmony and peace and love, quiet. It's beautiful. Christian home is a beautiful thing to behold. Christian relationship is a wonderful thing. And a relationship between fathers and children is lovely when it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul exhorts fathers here. They are not to provoke. Children not to be disobedient. Fathers aren't to provoke. They're not to be severe at all. But especially not to be overly severe or to be unjust with their children, to be cruel to them, to be unloving. Don't kind of embitter them or exasperate them. It means here to excite or to rouse, to strife, to keep on nagging your children about things, stirring them up for evil or in an evil sense. This word to provoke, it can be used in a good sense. Just like the zeal of the Corinthians, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:2, it provoked very many to love and to good works. There's a provoking to good things, which is to God's glory. But there's a provoking which is evil, and it is damaging to those who do it and to those to whom they do it. Fathers, don't provoke, he says. Don't stir up for evil or an evil sense your children. So they're not to do that, not to provoke their children, and not to do this to lead them to anger or to wrath, as Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And they're not to do this in any way by this constant nagging and so on, lest their children be discouraged. Children they're tender plants, aren't they? And they've got to be tended for carefully. Like if you're a gardener and you've got your greenhouse and you've got your young plants, you're going to be very careful with them, aren't you? You want them to grow and to become hardy and to bring forth fruit. But when they're young, they need a certain amount of protection. You're not going to deal with them in a kind of, in a hard way, or to expose them too much to things that are going to be damaging to them. And children, they are tender plants. Not to be kind of smothered in cotton wool, as people say, and overprotected. But on the other hand, certainly not to be provoked to anger or to wrath, lest they be discouraged, disheartened, cast down in their little souls, dispirited. You know, they may not have a spirit of sullen resignation in their hearts, or they might lose heart, thinking to themselves, it doesn't matter what I do, it's always wrong. I can't come up to the mark, I can't come up to the standard. So I'm being expected to be perfect, and I can't do it. That's what he's getting onto here. Nagging your children. Don't do that. Don't do this, and so on. Until in the end, the children are kind of so exasperated. Just can't get it right. That's not being kind to children. Yes, we're to encourage them to do what's right and to praise them. To be positive with them. Sometimes got to be negative, but not always negative. As positive as possible. Otherwise, they'll kind of resign in their hearts, as it were, thinking no matter what I do, it's always wrong. Well, look at your children. Look at their faces. Try and discern their hearts. Are they encouraged and happy, or are they discouraged and sullen and dispirited? Maybe, perhaps, you're being too hard on them, and you need to love them more, to care for them, look after them, not to provoke them, but to praise them more than you do. So Paul there, as a negative thing, isn't it? Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. Don't nag your children all the time. Yes, you've got to criticize them sometimes in a constructive way, but more than not, encourage them and bring them on till they grow up into Christ in all things. But I don't want to end on a negative note. Let's end on a positive note tonight. What is the role of fathers and mothers, of parents in general? Well, it's these, especially fathers. Your role is this. Don't provoke them, but admonish your children. Instruct them. Don't leave it all to the pastor. Don't leave it all to the elders or to the Sunday school teachers. It's also your role to admonish, to instruct, to teach, and to train your children in the way that they go. When they grow up, they may not depart from it. Paul exhorted in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Teach your children. The fathers of the young Israelites in the days of the Old Testament, they did this, Psalm 78 and so on. And as Christian fathers, we're to teach our children general things, yes, about God's world, but also about his word, particularly in family devotions. If you're a family, you ought to be having family devotions. As a father, you ought to be like a priest in your home, teaching your children, not just the mother, but the father too. Also, of course, parents are to discipline and reprove their children sometimes, but it's to be loving discipline. If you're not disciplining your children, especially your young children, in a physical way, there is something wrong. When they do things wrong, you've got to tell them. You've got to tell them off. You've got to reprove them, rebuke them kindly. And and wisely and discreetly. And if it warrants a smack, then you must smack them. Otherwise, if you don't do that, well, they just get away with absolutely everything. And they'll run amok. And there'll be a rod to your own back. And also a rod to others too. It is something that I think that we're very weak on in these days. We've got to be careful we don't overdo this. And over-discipline. And be cruel to children, even to abuse children. But there should be a loving, verbal and physical discipline in the home if we're to bring up our children in the right way. Fathers also are to encourage their children, to love their children. Paul wrote in his pastoral epistle to Titus, chapter 2 and verse 4. This is about, he says that they may teach the young women to be sober. Older women may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Young women would love their children, but only young women, young men too, fathers, are also to love their children. Of course they are. And by their example, as well as by their outright verbal instruction and witness, to point their children to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved by faith. They might know the gospel. The salvation of their precious and immortal souls is not by what they do, not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. To spend time with their children, quality time, it's called, and to provide for their children as well, both now and perhaps also, as far as possible, for the future too. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. Laying up in store for them, they might be provided for now and also in the future. So Paul here, in Colossians chapter 3, these two verses, exhorting the children, just writing about them, but writing directly to them. And saying to them, do this, he says, and also exhorting the fathers. I close by saying to the children here, do you obey your parents in all things because it's well-pleasing to the Lord? Do you do that? Are you obedient? If you're not, and if you're always disobedient, you have that spirit in you, always the same, and a grief to your parents. Like Adam and Eve had children that were a grief of mine to them, it may well be that you are not a Christian. Because a Christian is somebody who is, generally speaking, obedient to God and obedient to parents. A Christian child is. So we can use these things to examine ourselves, to see whether or not we are in the faith as young people and as older people. And fathers, do you not provoke your children to anger in case or lest they become discouraged? If you're always doing this and quite cruel to your children, hard on them, overbearing upon them, too stern, too severe, what does that say about yourself? Are you sure that you're a Christian? Somebody becomes a Christian. They have this loving disposition, kind, tender-hearted, merciful, forgiving, patient. And that is the kind of attitude that a father, parent, a mother should have towards their child. It's not going to be perfect, we know that, but that's going to be the general tenor of the relationship between one and the other. So my dear friends, let us even buy these things here. Colossians chapter 3, in verses 20 and 21, examine ourselves to see whether you and I are in the faith by the way in which we live out our Christian lives. It's been all about that today, hasn't it? From Ephesians 4, 70 to 32 this morning, how the Ephesians were to live their Christian lives. And here, a little bit more specifically, how Christian children are to be in the home. And how Christian fathers and mothers are to be towards their offspring. May we love one another, even as we've been loved of the Father and the Son.